This is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. I wanted to briefly follow up on episode 20 from my last episode, where I talked about what occupational therapy means and what we do in working with infants and toddlers. If you listened to that one, I forgot to mention that if you know of any young high school seniors that are considering going to college and finding a job where they can help people, please tell them about that episode and have them listen for themselves to see if they might be interested in that. Also, if you're a paraprofessional in a school looking to change jobs maybe, or a teacher or someone else who is just maybe interested in working with either kids or adults in the medical field without having to put in too much extra time, hopefully, in school, you might want to consider looking into the OT or OTA schools for occupational therapy. Now, for today, this is episode 21, and I will be talking about brachial plexus injuries in infants. Some other names for this are neonatal brachial plexus palsy and Erb's palsy, ERB. Brachial refers to your arm, and a plexus is a bundle or network of nerves. So the brachial plexus is a bundle of nerves that are basically going to your arm. It is where the nerves coming from your neck go to your upper arm through your shoulder area. The brachial plexus injury is when there is damage to these nerves that are going to your arm. One easy way to picture it is to lift your arm straight up in the air and imagine a clump of nerves coming out through your armpit area. That's not it exactly, but is enough of an idea to get you started on what I'm talking about. I will give a lot more details on this after I talk to you about the study. But I wanted to give you a reference point so that you wouldn't be completely in the dark when I talk about the research study for today. The study is called Kinesio Arm Taping as Prophylaxis Against the Development of Erb's Ingram. Now, there's quite a lot of technical jargon there, but Erb's Ingram is where the arm on the side that has been injured has a flexed or bent elbow and shoulder adduction, which is where the shoulder stays closer to your body. Erb's Ingram is something that can develop in kids who have a brachial plexus injury, and it could affect them in the long run. This study was published in the Journal of Advanced Research in 2013. It came out of Cairo University in Egypt. The study involved 30 babies with Erb's palsy, or a brachial plexus injury, who were between the ages of 1 to 5 months old. The babies were split equally into two groups. One group was the control group, who received a designed physical therapy program, and the other group, who received the same physical therapy program, but also had kinesio tape placed on their shoulder and forearm of the injured arm. The kinesio tape is like you've probably seen in the Olympics with the athletes there, the bright colored tape where they tape the muscles on their skin, and it helps with muscle movement. The study measured the percentages of deltoid and biceps brachii muscle degeneration using electroneurography, or ENOG. This test measures electrical activity of the nerves by giving them electrical stimulation using electrodes on the skin. They also measured the motor function of the arm muscles using the Toronto Active Motion Scale. For the treatment, each baby received 45 minutes of physical therapy 3 times per week for 3 months in a row. Therapy consisted of moist heat, massage, and range of motion exercises. The caregivers were asked to complete a home program using the range of motion exercises 2 times per day on the days that they did not receive the physical therapy. One group received this physical therapy and had kinesio tape applied to their shoulder and forearm using a minimal stretch on the tape. The tape would stay on for 3 to 5 days, then would be removed for 24 hours and reapplied again. This was also repeated for the same 3 months. The results of the study showed evidence that kinesio taping in addition to the physical therapy, provided an earlier and smoother recovery than those that only received the physical therapy. They did find evidence that kinesiotaping has beneficial effects for babies with this injury. Now let's talk more about this injury. Brachial plexus, or Erb's palsy injury, happens during the delivery of the baby. It is one of the most common types of birth injuries. The infant's neck gets stretched to the side, causing damage to the nerves on the side that gets stretched. This can happen if the head is delivered, but the shoulders remain stuck inside, for example, and the doctor uses excessive force to help deliver the baby the rest of the way. Sometimes it can happen from the use of forceps as well. It can also be caused by breech delivery or from weakened or underdeveloped neck muscles if the baby is larger in size, and if the mom has diabetes, it can also play a role in this. The main thing to know is the infant's neck gets stretched too much and it causes damage to the nerves coming out of the neck and leading to the arm. In this injury, the most common nerves that get damaged are the lower four cervical nerves, C5 to C8, and the first thoracic nerve, T1. These nerves come out of the neck area and are all connected in a bundle together. They run down along the collarbone and through the shoulder, then down along the arm to the hand. Most commonly, the C5 and C6 nerves get damaged. These are the nerves that were specifically looked at in the study that I mentioned today. These nerves supply the muscles of our shoulder, muscles used in elbow flexion, or bending our elbow, and extending or bending our wrist back. There are several different types of nerve injuries associated with the brachial plexus. The most common and the least severe type is called neuropraxia. This is where the nerves are stretched, but they do not tear. The damage is actually done to the protective lining around the nerves rather than the nerves themselves. This type of injury can heal up on its own within a few months. Babies with this type of injury can still have pain, tingling, numbness, and other symptoms until the injury heals. The affected area can be highly sensitive during the healing process. The muscles that are affected by this can also be weaker. Another type of injury is called neuroma. This is where scar tissue grows around and over the injured area of the nerve. It can place pressure on the nerve, which can make it difficult for the nerve to send signals to the muscles. This can clear up on its own if the scar tissue is minor, but if not, it could require surgery to remove the scar tissue. Many babies with this injury have success with neurolysis treatment, which is where they use hot and cold packs on the affected area. The most severe type of injury is called avulsion, where the nerve is torn from where it attaches at the spinal cord. As far as I know, there is no surgery that can repair that nerve. The one other type of injury is a rupture of the nerve, where the nerve is torn, but it is not torn at the spinal cord area. The tear happens somewhere else along the nerve. This type of injury can be repaired by surgery. This is also called Erb's palsy, which is what I'm mainly talking about today. There are a wide range of symptoms that are possible with this injury, depending on where the nerve is injured and how the injury happened. Most of the time, we see loss of muscle strength, decreased range of motion in the shoulder, elbow, and possibly wrist joint areas, and sensory impairments of the arm. Sensory impairments could be loss of sensation or numbness feeling, tingling, pain, or heightened sensitivity to touching things due to damage on the nerves. The decreased range of motion occurs a lot of time in the muscles around the shoulder and the scapula areas. The scapula is the bone that includes your collarbone and what most people call the shoulder blade, or the part on your upper back area. This is the bone that has the area where the head of your upper arm bone, called the radius, fits in to form what we know as our shoulder. Because range of motion is so highly affected by this injury, it is important to do stretches on a daily basis to help these muscles loosen and move better. The stretches should be done frequently and every day, starting potentially as early as 3 weeks old. Unless, of course, your baby's doctor or therapist has other recommendations based on their individual needs and situation. That should go without saying for all of the things I talk about on this show and all my episodes. Always follow your doctor's orders over my recommendations because they know your child and I obviously don't. The suggestions and information that I provide in this show are to be used as general information, not specific advice for your own child. My purpose here is to educate you on different diagnoses and conditions related to child development and children with special needs from a therapeutic point of view. I want you to have the information and knowledge so you can find the ways that work best for your family and for your child's situation. An orthopedic doctor might determine that a splint or a cast is appropriate for positioning their arm to provide sustained gentle stretches for at usually the shoulder, elbow, or the forearm areas. Massage is another great activity to use with this injury, again to help loosen and relax the muscles that are affected. If the muscles are relaxed, it will give them a better chance of being able to move their arm more freely, also depending on their strength. As infants with this injury, as with any infants, tummy time is, of course, very important. It will help develop those neck muscles, and once they start to push up on their forearms while they're on their tummy, it will help develop their arm strength as well. However, this part could be difficult depending on the severity of their injury. Again, following their doctor's recommendation on this, but if they are cleared to weight bear on their arms, then you can help them position their arms underneath their chest while they're on their tummy. This will put them in the correct placement for being able to push up on their forearms to begin with and on their hands in later stages. Depending on their skill level with this, you may need to position them over a large therapy ball at an angle to give them some assistance in taking gravity out of the equation, or at least lessening the effects of going against gravity completely for this, especially early on. Once they develop some strength in the affected arm, you can expect them to do more weight-bearing fully against gravity. However, this activity is one that could be difficult for quite some time, even after they have moved past the crawling stages and onto walking. Try to capitalize on it as much as possible, depending on what they can tolerate early on, because once they do start walking, there is less natural opportunity to work on this. These kids can be very resilient and will often find ways of compensating. By this I mean they will learn how to do things like crawling without actually using the injured arm, or at least without using it the way we would want them to, by alternating on their hands and knees to move forward. Sometimes kids will learn to army crawl, where they move forward on their tummy using their non-injured arm and their legs to propel themselves forward. But they might put weight on their injured arm for support without actually using it to help pull themselves forward. Weight-bearing activities where they are holding weight on their hand or forearm can be effective for many reasons. It helps encourage muscles to work or become active. It can strengthen the muscles and increase the muscle endurance for holding positions longer after more practice. Basically, these are exercises for babies, toddlers, and kids that can be beneficial in their progress in addition to the stretches and the massage. Another symptom that you might see is their injured arm being turned slightly inward, especially at the shoulder and the forearm areas. It can be difficult for kids who have these symptoms to rotate their arm at the shoulder so they're reaching out to the side. It can also affect their ability to turn their forearm so that their palm turns upward. The common position is for their hand and forearm to be pronated, which is where their hand is turned so their thumb is positioned down. Think about putting your arm out straight in front of you with your palm facing the floor. Then, turn your hand so that your thumb is pointing at the floor, but only turn your arm below your elbow area. This is the position that you will often see their hand. Now, keeping your arm straight out in front, turn your hand so that your palm is facing the sky. Again, only turning your forearm below your elbow. This is called supination. This is a very difficult movement for many kids with brachial plexus injury. But you might imagine it is a very helpful movement for gross and fine motor skills, especially fine motor skills when we're trying to play with many toddler learning toys like puzzles and stacking blocks, or coloring and drawing, or cutting or scissor skills. Also, self-help skills are involved, like trying to hold a bottle or a cup with both hands, trying to learn how to pick up food to feed themselves using their hands, and using a spoon or fork can be difficult to master. Now, you might think they have another hand that they can do those one-handed activities with just fine. And that may be true. However, for one thing, we want to encourage them to use the injured hand and arm because we want to get as much recovery as possible, and they have to use it in order to make progress. Secondly, I have worked with kids who have this injury, and it is obvious that the injured arm is actually their dominant arm sometimes. I can tell this because they will naturally try to use the injured arm as the primary arm for playing with toys or doing certain activities that would typically be done with the dominant hand. This can be tricky because of the injury, but it's still important to let them try and use the injured hand and arm as much as possible. In this case, it is almost helpful when the injured hand is the dominant one because their brain often tries to use that hand without even thinking about it. While if it's the non-dominant hand, they may not be as motivated to use it for some activities. For those of you who are familiar with a stroke in adults where there is damage in their brain, which can make them neglect one side of their body and makes one side of their body not work as well as it did before, this injury at first glance may seem like it is the same, but the brachial plexus injury does not have anything to do with damage in their brain. This is a good thing for these kids because it helps with them being able to intrinsically want to try to use both hands rather than neglecting one side. This can also be helpful as they get older if they still need to work on stretches and strengthening activities because they can start to understand the importance of doing these things daily. And they can most likely tell the difference after doing their exercises, and they can see and feel the benefit immediately afterwards. One common treatment that can be used for kids who continue to have muscle weakness is Botox. An orthopedic or plastic surgeon can determine if this is appropriate for the child or not. Botox in this case is injected into specific muscles that are tighter so that the tighter muscles can be stretched more efficiently. The tighter muscles become temporarily paralyzed, which allows the weaker muscles to work on building strength. The reason for this is because the tighter muscles get in the way of the weaker muscles being able to work or become active like they should. The injections usually last for about 3 months. They can be repeated if the doctor determines that it is appropriate. Some babies will need surgery to repair the damaged nerves depending on their symptoms and type of injury. The prognosis with this diagnosis varies depending on the individual situation. Some kids can gain full recovery and use of their injured arm, while others may have longer-lasting effects of weakness and tightness. Early intervention with these babies is essential. While the physical and occupational therapists cannot heal the nerves directly, they can provide caregivers with the exercises and the information needed to be able to help give their baby the best setup for recovery. That's all for today. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.